Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to take a journey, and you'll be the one that will have to decide whether it's fantasy or if it could be reality. My guest today is Scott Blum. His wonderful book is called Waiting for Autumn, and Scott is in Ashland, Oregon, and he's with us today. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Now, is the sun shining down where you are? Up here in Washington, the sun's come out. We still feel like we're freezing, though. But is it? It's not warm. How is it down your way?
It's actually gorgeous today. It's about 75, 80 degrees today. Beautiful.
Ooh.
All blue skies.
Wow. Well, you need to huff and puff. Send us some of that glorious, glorious sunshine up here to the Pacific Northwest and the Seattle area. We'd just love it. Scott, you are the co-founder of a very popular website that's noted for its inspirational material. It's called DailyOM.com, DailyOM.com. Now, you have quite an eclectic background. You've been a multimedia artist, quite successful at that. You've worked with authors and musicians and visual artists from around the world, and your work is highly recognized. And you have done a series featuring ancient meditation music from around the world. How did you get involved with all of this? I always find people's stories so interesting. I mean, you're dealing with a very technical arena. What made you decide to explore the areas of the mind, to explore the areas of the soul, the spirit?
Well, what happened was my wife and I were in Seattle, actually, in your neck of the woods.
Uh-huh.
We started a very popular music website called iMusic. It was one of the first music websites out there. I sold it to a company in Los Angeles in the early 90s, and we moved down there to Los Angeles in order to work for that company. And in the meantime, when I was working in the music industry, my wife started an aromatherapy business, and she made soy wax candles, and I was very successful at that, to the point where I needed to quit my job in the music industry in order to work with her. And so we were working together full-time for a few weeks, and it was basically the typical L.A. lifestyle. You know, we were commuting 45 minutes each way. And we would spend all of our spare time at night meditating, doing yoga, doing everything we could to stay balanced and to basically deal with the craziness of being in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a couple of weeks of working together, we just had a sit-down, heart-to-heart talk, and we just said, you know what? What we really want to do is to integrate this balanced lifestyle, this balanced part of our life that we have in the evenings with our daily life. And so we wanted to integrate that consciousness with our professional lives. And so we created DailyOM primarily, purely from a selfish perspective. We just wanted to live that way. But the universe definitely had something else in mind. Although we thought it was for ourselves, within a few months we realized it was actually for others. And so we became in service to it. And so when you work in this industry, you basically just do your best to listen to the messages you're given and to respond as much as you can. And so that's what we try to do on a daily basis.
Now, you have evolved into becoming an author. Is Waiting for Autumn your first book?
Yes, it is.
Why did you feel like you needed to write this story? Now, I need to say something before you respond to this, because right in the very front of your book, you've had people ask you if this Waiting for Autumn is fact or fiction. Tell us how this book came about.
Well, Yeah, those are definitely two different answers. The first answer is, how did it come about? And, you know, I'm the CEO of De Leon, and my wife has always been the one responsible for writing all of the inspirational messages. And so we already had a writer in the family, and we had just moved to Ashland, Oregon anyway, so we were in the midst of remodeling our house, hiring all new employees. I also do the technology side of things. So I had no desire to be a writer at all. And one morning I woke up and the entire book had downloaded it into my consciousness in 2 or 3 seconds.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now describe that experience.
Well, it's basically like one second you don't have a book in your head and the next second you do, and it's just bursting. It's sort of like bursting at your seams, trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I did everything I could to, you know, give myself excuses, to rationalize why I shouldn't be writing a book, etc. And I did my best to completely avoid writing it for many weeks, to the point where it was almost becoming physically painful that it was in me and it just had to get out. And so finally we had construction workers coming up the house every morning at 6 a.m. And so I had to start getting up at 4 in the morning in order to just get this out of me. And so that's what I did, is I woke up at 4 in the morning and just started writing the whole thing. I didn't read any of it until it was completely done. And then when I was done writing it, then I went back and I read it and I said, okay, this is pretty special. I guess I better find a publisher for it. So that's how it came out.
And now tell us about your journey in finding Hay House. What was that like? Because going and finding a publisher sometimes can be a real challenge.
Yeah, we were very lucky that way, because with De Leon, we have 1 million subscribers. And so when a large publisher like Hay House evaluates you, they look at what they consider to be called a base, and like how many people are already fans of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so since we had, you know, at that point, I think we had about 800,000 subscribers. We have about 1 million subscribers now. Madison's book was the first book that came out, which makes a lot of sense because she was the De Leon author, and the first book was called De Leon. And so at that point, it was, you know, a great fit. They decided to take a risk on it, and it sold really well. And so at that point, we already had, you know, I was already working with Hay House anyway, so they basically looked at my book and said, well, we don't normally do fiction, but since you're part of the family, we'll read it. And so then once they read it, then they said, okay, we like it, let's put it out.
Okay.
So basically lucked out there.
That is marvelous. So it was just synchronistic, really, in many ways.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, not that you didn't have to go and do the work to get everything done, you did. But in their accepting it, because there had been a nice affiliation there, and they recognized what you'd done, and like you said, you had a good base of contact with people. Not a whole lot of people can say that they've got 1 million subscribers to anything.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That is a very, very positive positioning to be in. Well, let's talk about waiting for autumn, because it really is all about personal transformation. And when this story was coming through you, were the characters really that clearly portrayed, or did you find that as you were writing that more came through you to be able to add to the substance of the material?
Well, I would say both. Definitely some characters were fully formed. Let me just rewind a little bit to a comment that you made before about how people ask me if this is fact or fiction, and you know, one of the main reasons is because the main character's name is Scott in the story. And what happened is the book Waiting for Autumn essentially documents about 20 years of my personal metaphysical experiences. So many of the experiences in the book actually happened to me, but they happened over the period of 20 years, and so I used a fictional thread to tie it all together because the book itself happens in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is I didn't, you know, I mean, in retrospect, of course the book was given to me, but in retrospect I realized that it wasn't going to be as interesting if it was just a bunch of diary entries. And so it was really meant to be more of a story that people can go through a journey that they're taken on. And so as far as the characters, you know, like the character, the Scott character, the main character, was fully formed because it was me. And so that was easy. But some of the characters I got to know during the writing process, for sure.
Go ahead. Excuse me.
I was going to say, and so some of them I could see them, but then I felt that I needed to become them in order to understand what they were feeling. And that's how I got to know them better. It's just as you get to know a friend, you know, the more time that you spend with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. And I think that's what makes Waiting for Autumn such a delightful read. Now let's talk about the character Robert. He's quite a guy. Who did you draw on for Robert? This is a real oddball character, someone that would be like a homeless individual. You look at him, you're not impressed. And how many times do we pass individuals in a day that are like this Robert, that are just someone that would seemingly be, you know, like a street person?
Right. Well, yes, So Robert is a homeless person, or so I thought when I first met him. And he was the person that essentially turns my life upside down by explaining that there's spirituality and consciousness in everything around us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an entirely new concept for me. And answering a question of who is this character based on, it's a little bit of a complex answer, but I would say that when I was younger, in my teenage years, where a lot of these experiences happened, I actually did have the benefit of a guru that came into my life and was very adept at getting me into many of these metaphysical type experiences. Unfortunately, he wasn't very good at getting me out of them. And so once I was there, he sort of left me to flounder on my own. And it actually damaged me quite substantially, and definitely slowed down my own personal spiritual development to the point where I abandoned all spirituality for almost 15 years. I couldn't come close to it. So there was definitely some of these keys where he would unlock these experiences, which I drew from when writing about Robert. But then I used life experience and a lot of other people to basically make the guru I wish I would have had, that not only could get me into these situations, but get me out of them as well.
All right, I'm going to ask you a personal question, Scott.
Sure.
Can you explain what one of those getting into situations was? Well, the reason I'm saying this is that so frequently when people get their first aha about intuitive development, they're on this journey, they get caught up with what I call all the gimmicks, all the scams, all of the gee whiz, this is going to make your life absolutely perfect stuff. And I knew of someone that had a total nervous breakdown, big time. Mm. And they didn't have, like you. They used a book, and it was just amazing what they went through. And I will never forget speaking with them. And I don't know that they're still okay since then, because they entered into some areas that affected their entire nervous system. Is this something that happened to you? Can you give us a specific and tell us what occurred?
Sure. I wrote about it as much as I could when I wrote Waiting for Autumn. And actually, it was so intense that it was very difficult for me to put into words. And I still stumble with the words at this point, because it's not exactly the words to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But later on in the book, where there's a scene in a park in Wairika where the dark entities were sort of after me in the spirit world, is essentially what happened to me. Basically, he was adept at getting me into another level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was no longer communicating in the physical world. And I was basically communicating in the spiritual world. When you're in the spiritual world, it's wonderful, because you have the complete freedom, and you're not bound by the limitations of a human body and all of those other things. Sort of like in dreamland, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between dreamland and the spirit world is dreamland is sort of a safe zone where nobody that you don't want can't come into your dreamland. But when you're in the spirit world proper, you can come across many different spirits, I guess, for lack of a better word, that may be very positive or they may be negative. And so there were these negative spirits that were essentially after me that I was at the point where I needed to either surrender to them, meaning I would have to leave this planet. And that was the choice I needed to make, is whether I was going to have the strength to come back into my body and be in the spirit, into the physical world again. And that's why I had to stop with all of my spiritual growth, and I couldn't even do yoga or meditation, because it was almost like an alcoholic taking a drink, that I felt like if I got too close to it, then I would get sucked back into it, mm-hmm. and then I would lose my grip on reality. So mm-hmm. so that was, I don't feel that necessarily one experience was better than the other, but the one that I really chose to do was to stay on this earth, and I'm glad I did, but it was a very painful and traumatic time for me.
Now, you talk of many different things in your book. You talk about walk-ins, and of course this is referring to Robert.
Yep.
You talk about vortexes. You bring up Ashland, which often is described as a very special energy center. And much of your story centers on Oregon and the Ashland area with good purpose. And then you also talk about gemstones, and everything has an energy. There's nothing that does not have energy. What was it that you learned about gemstones? Because you folded these so delicately within the story, all of these different levels of awareness. How did gemstones come into the picture?
Well, when I was getting exposed, when I was essentially being reintroduced to spirituality, my wife had her own spiritual awakening probably 10 years into our marriage, and the way that she was introduced to spirituality was more what I call earth-based spirituality. The work that I was doing before was more spirit-based, and she used the entire world as seeing spirituality and everything, primarily being connected with nature. And so she was probably the one that taught me about all of that, is connecting with natural plant essences, the energy of trees, and then a natural extension of that would be with gemstones and that sort of thing. So she actually has a spiritual jewelry line, so I suppose I learned a lot of that from her.
Now, this story is about Robert and his journey, and as you said earlier, it's like a 3-month journey, not a 20-year journey like you had. But he had lost someone he had loved very dearly, and this character's name is Cheryl. And he is, through Robert, going through all of these various experiences because somehow or another he's got to have a closure regarding the death of the woman that he loves so very much. What was it that triggered that particular scenario to you?
Well, I mean, definitely that Cheryl was based on a real person. My first love actually died in a car accident. And I think what happened was, it was happening right around the same time as I was having these spiritual experiences I was referring to. And so I had a tendency, since I was pretty disconnected with this earth anyway, I didn't really honor her transition. And I was actually surprised that I didn't let myself grieve as much as I probably should have, or honor her. And so for some reason she had been hanging around me for many years waiting to be acknowledged. And so when I was writing this book and opening myself back up to these realms, she was right there. And I didn't realize how much I had held on to her by not honoring her transition. And she wasn't able to leave for many, many years. So I think that was kind of the essence of it, from a metaphysical level, what happened.
Fascinating. Now, you bring in also Native American culture and the aspect of drumming. and how this can create an altered state. Of course, there's this particular part of the story where you've been advised that there is a piece of your soul that needs to be returned to you, and there's a raven involved with this. Again, you have all of these subtleties that just create a wonderful mental and verbal tapestry that I think has such a nice harmonic to it. The Native American harmonic that you brought in to this story, that also was based on personal experience?
Yes, I have Native American ancestry, and that has been something that I did my best, or didn't do my best, whichever way you look at it, to ignore throughout my entire life. That is probably the tip of the iceberg that is happening to me now. If you want to know what my current spiritual direction is, once I began to explore and integrate my Native American ancestry through ancestral healing, as well as attending Native American ceremonies, I'm finding definitely a really deep connection to my past that I really didn't understand existed. So it's definitely a part of me that I'm still exploring, and I think that Waiting for Autumn was basically the beginning of me exploring that.
Now you have a lovely woman, Martika, who is brought in. She walks into Scott's life in the book, and she knows all about him, and he doesn't have a clue about her, but she is somehow linked with Robert.
Yes.
So this is another aspect of journey that Robert in the book is going to go through. Martika, who was she based on?
Well, Martika is based on a friend that I have here in Ashland that has helped me a lot with sort of my spiritual awakening and been centered around these types of experiences. But I would say that the more that I'm learning about her and the book, there's sort of this cross-section, this blending that we've been talking about since the beginning, of the blending of fact and fiction and what's real and what's not real. It's all starting to blend, and one of the things that I'm finding more and more of is that I'm finding a deeper connection with people that I consider in my soul family. And these are people that are not only in my my physical family, but people that I'm related to or I'm going to be related to in either past lives or future lives. And so I'm finding that I'm either writing about these people from my soul family before I meet them, or I meet them and then I go deeper into my past or my future when writing. So it's kind of an interesting fluid experience that my spiritual practice and my writing and my friendships are all starting to blend together.
Your story talks about going from Ashland to Wairika. You get into also in a certain portion of Waiting for Autumn, you talk about the use of tones. You bring up the om sound, but other sounds as well. So you have tonalities. You talk about dreams. And I really like the section on dreams, I think primarily because dreams have been such a significant portion of my life in the way of seeing things and being aware of many things. But you state in here, there's a paragraph, and I'll read it exactly. When people dream, a portion of their soul is free to leave the body and mingle with the collective unconscious. Sometimes it's just for fun, like flying dreams. Other times it's to retrieve ancient wisdom or power. And now that you have the guidance of your ancestors, they are helping you become stronger. This is a topic, ancestors, that came up with a client of mine not too long ago. And it's really not something, depending on a person's cultural background. In the Western world, it's discussed very frequently, unless someone has an opportunity to understand Native American history and or talk to an elder that has that understanding of ancestors and the wise ones that have gone before us. This is very comfortable for you in this book, though. You talk about it, and it's a a period of grace that you go through relative to this in the book. It's really quite nice.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I find that the dreams are a very powerful way of accessing wisdom that is either from your ancestors or within the universe itself. But I would say that the ancestral healing is particularly important because we all are designed to get stronger and stronger with future generations, because there's this connection that we can actually draw from the experience, the wisdom, and the energy from all that have gone before us. And what's very interesting about that is if there's some inherent healing that hasn't been done in previous generations, we have an inherent entanglement to that particular issue, and we end up becoming weaker than we are meant to be because we're not drawing on that strength. So not only do we need to be open to draw from the strengths of our ancestors, but we also need to be sensitive and aware that there might be past healing that needs to be done, and it's a responsibility not only to make our own lives better, but to make future generations better as well. So all of that is really important, and dreams are definitely a good way of finding insight into that.
Well, Wairika proves to be quite a place. Martika is quite a gal. And there are so many interactions that go on in this book. And for you to put it, like you said, in real life for you, this has been a journey that is 20 years long so far, and perhaps, you know, it's going to be for the rest of your life, to be perfectly frank, because I don't know that it ever really ends. But you have put together this story, Waiting for Autumn, that I think creates a level of understanding for anybody that reads it, an awareness that there's so much more that goes on in life. There is so much more that weaves itself together that most people just don't have a clue about. They don't realize how much is going on, if you will, behind the scenes that frequently creates that very patterning that brings things into your space that people will say are, you know, serendipitous circumstances, aren't you lucky? It's just amazing. It's like a friend of mine that's up in Fairbanks, Alaska, ended up sending me a book, and I opened it up yesterday after getting it in the mail, and I went, holy Moses, this is perfect timing. She doesn't even know what's going on in my space, and she has sent me a book regarding a certain subject matter. And my husband saw it, and he said, wow, isn't that something? It's perfect timing that you've gotten this piece of very significant business information that she sent you. And I said, isn't that nice? You just never know how things are going to work out.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that one of the main reasons is because for various reasons, but I think that we have a tendency to begin to rely on our intellect way more than we should in order to evaluate whether a particular situation is important to our lives and really meaningful to us. And although our intellect is a really nice tool, it's really designed more to, to balance our checkbooks and remember vocabulary words and things like that. It's not really designed to identify if we're actually truly on our own personal soul's path and if we're following our own destiny. You know, what are we here for? What is the meaning of life? Those are the types of issues that we try to use our brain to figure out, and it's just not designed to help you with that. What's really designed to give us that insight is our intuition. And so I think a lot of us that are saying that, okay, well, you know, this is just a coincidence, or this doesn't mean anything, or it's just totally random, these types of issues, and not seeing, as you're saying, kind of what's happening behind the scenes, is because we're not using our intuition in order to identify, evaluate, and rely on this information that we're given on a second-by-second basis. There's no moment that is insignificant. Every single moment of our life is incredibly important. But we don't have a tendency to sense that because we're not usually in concert with our intuition. So that's the main reason. Once you begin to integrate with your intuition and use it on a daily basis, you'll be able to see these circumstances for what they are, every day.
Well, I know we're just about out of time, Scott, but I do want to let my listeners know, if they want a good read for this summer and they want a story that's going to captivate their mind, cause them to think, but also there is a bit of a mystery here because Waiting for Autumn is a title that relates to one of the characters in the book, that actually Scott, the main character, finds that he actually is waiting for, and you'll have to read the book to find out the rest of the story. Scott Blum, you have a wonderful website, scottblum.net, and that's B-L-U-M, it's S-C-O-T-T-B-L-U-M.net, and you also can find out about his dailyom.com site, and that is an inspirational website. You've heard about his wife, how she writes things for that. Scott, it's been a delight having you as a guest today.
Thank you very much.
And I wish you the utmost success with this book, and I think the artistry in it is just superb. It's just wonderful. First class all the way, and a story that will be read not just once, but maybe more than once by you. It's got a lot of meaning to it, and you've heard his story, and part of what made that story, Waiting for Autumn, come about. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines have now been opened up, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to do exactly that with you. light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is our toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener, all you need to do is remember that when you call in and we get on the line with you, I'll need your first name or your initial, and I always like to know where you're calling in from. So I like to know the city and the state. And then after that, just let me give you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask any question you like about anything. It's that simple, and it's a lot of fun. It's informational. I'm an information resource. I know we've got a caller on the line waiting. Before I go to that caller, however, I want to mention to those of you who are in Western Washington that the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair is coming up, and it's the first 3 weekends in August. Saturday and Sunday of each of those weekends, naturally. And I'm going to be attending, but this is an event that is just absolutely awesome, perfect for the family. And I encourage you to go to the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair website. And you can go to Washington Ren Fair. That's the name of the website, WashingtonRenFaire.com. There you'll get all kinds of details and information to what's going to be going on there. Fabulous photographs, all kinds of good stuff. This is being held at the Maris Farms in Buckley. Now, I have 3 passes to give away. And if you are in the Western Washington area, if you're in Eastern Washington and you're going to be traveling over the mountains to come in to this wonderful event, send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And let me know that you are wanting to have one of these free family passes. You can't beat it. It's just a terrific event. And take Aunt Jane, Uncle Murphy, whoever you've got. Bring the family. This is a wonderful event. And look for my booth, which will have bright yellow banners with gigantic red lions on them. That's my logo that I've used for years at the Renaissance Fair, and I'll be there doing some readings and sharing a lot of good things with you while I'm there. Anyway, I hope you can come out. If you want to get a free pass, just send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Mention BBS Radio, and I'll need your contact information, of course. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial? And where are you calling from?
Hi.
Hi there. I'm sorry. Hello? We've got a little bit of a time delay. Give me your name again and your city and state, please.
Ernie Hope, B.C.
Hope, B.C.
Yeah,
British
Canada.
Columbia. Oh, my goodness.
I'm a little ways away.
I'd say so. I hope the sun is shining in your part of the world.
It is.
Great.
I just would like to know if it's going to stay shining on me.
Well, I think the sun will continue shining on you, but I will say this. You're going to have to work quite hard. I'm looking at you with a big, big picture in front of you. It's as if you have done this massive mural of what I desire. Now, this is like a picture that's in my head, and I'm seeing this huge, huge picture of what I would describe as your dreams. And the artistry is beautiful. You like to continue to add detail to what it is you want, and that's perfectly all right. The universe doesn't care. And I'm seeing you feeling a little frustrated because it's like, gee, you've only gotten little tiny pixels out of this that you have designed in actual reality. And I want to say be patient, because what is happening is there's a combination of things going on in your life. One, you're having to learn a whole new grouping of disciplines. Two, you are learning how to become more refined and skilled in your communication with people and also in your sales ability with people. Three, you have had some health issues that you need to really pay attention to. And this, nobody else is going to be able to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself.
Okay.
And four, relocation is definitely going to be in the picture, but not for a while. So you have to manage your money very thoughtfully and carefully. I want to say do not give up on your dreams. And this is plural, dreams, D-R-E-A-M-S. Do not, because they definitely are going to come together. As they start to come together, though, it may be in a way and manner that you will not have anticipated. So part of the lesson that you're learning, and this one isn't an easy one, believe me, I've had to go through this lesson, oh, I can't tell you how many times, and that is trusting and releasing. Doing whatever you have to do each day, and just know and continue to hold that dream in the front part of your mind, or the dreams, and not worry about how they're going to be manifested. Don't try to be the controller here. I'm telling you, I've had to have that lesson shoved down my throat so many times, it is not even funny. So I know how frustrating it can be. Because you'll hear somebody else's story and you'll say, gee whiz, they seem to have followed all these dots. But whenever I try to follow those same dots, I end up with a jigsaw puzzle. What's the matter with me? It's nothing that's wrong with you, dear. It's just the fact that somebody else's path is not your path. And that's the difference. You're an individual.
Okay.
So if you can keep that in mind and keep doing what you know you need to do for yourself, don't give up the dream or dreams. Don't do that. Go just hold them to your heart and just say, somehow or another this is going to happen, but I don't have to know how. I'll just keep doing what I need to do to sharpen my skills and my abilities, and I'll take care of myself, because you need to do that. You've been pretty sloppy about your health. You need to take better care of you.
Like, in my health, you mean like my diabetes?
Yes. I would say anything that you can become educated about regarding good nutrition, about keeping physical stamina up where it's supposed to be. Simple thing sometimes is just making sure you go to bed earlier and getting a good 8 hours sleep. That sounds so silly, but it makes
sense. No, but sometimes that's hard.
Well, you have to make the choice, and that's part of your learning. That's part of the situation. And instead of looking at diabetes as being something that can be destructive in your life, look at it as one of your teachers. And so as a student, you're going to learn how to put it in its place.
I will. Can I ask you a question?
You sure can, dear.
Do you, like, I did something a few months ago, and it's going to have repercussions, and I'm just wondering, am I going to be okay?
Well, I don't know what you did, but I would say instead of coming from a positioning of fear, whatever it was that you did, you need to ask yourself why you did it. Whatever it is, and just look at it and say, okay, if I have to be honest about it, I will be honest about it, and I won't make excuses. I'll accept my responsibility and then just move with whatever I have to move with.
Does it look like it's going to be okay, though? Am I going to turn out okay?
Well, of course you're going to turn out okay. But when I'm listening to you, it's like I'm hearing a little girl that's been caught with her hand in the cookie jar.
That's exactly what it was.
Well, what you need to do is ask yourself. This is going to take a positioning of integrity with you. And you need to know that if you're honest with yourself, you're going to be honest with other people.
Yeah.
And let me just share with you a quick story about a young woman that I helped many, many years ago. She had come to me because she was ready to commit suicide. And she was at the end of her rope. And I don't think your situation is as drastic as hers, but I will just share her story because I think it will bring some lessons home to you. And what I found out, she had been a fellow worker in an insurance office. And I found out from this woman, and she was in tears the whole time she was telling me her story, and that was that she had an ex-husband that was blackmailing her. Now, this was a young woman that was, I wouldn't say super intelligent, but she had come from a cultural environment where it was easy to intimidate her.
Yeah.
And so what she ended up doing was stealing some money from the insurance company. And she said, Donna, I took this money. He was blackmailing me. I didn't want my husband to know. I've got a baby. And she was, I mean, this poor girl was just, she had gotten into such a dilemma, it was a mess. So I knew the bosses of the company, and there was a boss, Mr. G., and I said, well, we're going to take care of this right now. I said, you need to tell the truth. And she just said, oh, my God, I'm going to go to jail. I said, no, you're not going to go to jail. But what's going to happen is that you have to tell the truth. And you need to tell the whole story. You need to tell what happened. And so she went in. I actually went in with her to the office, and I had called up this boss, and I said, this is urgent. Can we get together? And it was in the evening, and it took us an hour and a half to get to the office. I was that far away. And so I was there with her, and I stayed with her, and the whole thing was resolved, and she ended up paying back. And this is just a particular experience that I had. She ended up paying back everything, and her life was back in her own hands. But the reason I share this is a very dramatic story, and I've made it very short, sweet, and to the point. There was a lot more to it, but what happened was by facing and accepting her responsibility, which she was willing to do, and I said, you can't work from fear. You don't have to worry about this, but just doing it. It transformed her life. It transformed her. So she came out of a positioning of fear.
Yeah. Right now I'm sort of in the middle of the unknown because I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, you need to accept responsibility for your actions. No excuses. Whatever has to be faced here, I don't need to know the details, but whatever has to be faced, look it straight in the eye and realize that this is a lesson for you so that you can get past some fears that you've had for a long time.
Yes.
I wish
thank
you well
you very
there.
Much.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You. Oh,
God bless.
You
all
a very
well.
Day.
You
bye.
Too. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. If you'd like to give me a call, 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. If you want to chat with me today, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Now, we did have a caller on the line. Caller, please wait, because I promised yesterday to give out this recipe on coconut cornbread. And I want to keep my word, but I got so busy yesterday I wasn't able to do it. So quickly, I wanted to do this because this is something that if you have pulled pork or if you're doing barbecue, this is a bread that I'll call it a bread, cornbread, that will just absolutely amaze people, and it's so easy to fix. This is from my guests, Andrea and Pam, that were on yesterday. So I wanted to get this out to you. Now, this is going to serve 12 people, and you can't freeze it. Don't double the recipe. Just do it exactly the way I'm giving it to you, and you can make as many of these as you want, but you have to do each recipe complete all by itself. Don't double it up. Try to make it bigger. It's not going to be as effective. So this is what you need. You need one Marie Callender's cornbread mix, one box of that. You need 3/4 cup of coconut milk, 3/4 cup of coconut milk, 3/4 cup of water, 3/4 cup of water, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, and also 1/2 teaspoon of cloves and nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon each of cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg. And then you need 1 bag of shredded coconut. Now, if you don't like coconut, I guess you could skip this part, but that's what this is coconut cornbread. So why not try it? If you like coconut, this is really going to tickle your taste buds. Now, the oven has to be preheated to 400 degrees. All the ingredients go into a big bowl. You mix it all up. And remember, with cornbread, you don't whip it until it's aerated. What you do is whip it until all of the dry ingredients are moistened. And this goes into a loaf pan. And so you spray it with, you know, your nonstick cooking spray. Pour the batter into the loaf pan. And then you bake it for 30 to 35 minutes. And you want to be thoughtful about this. You don't want to overbake it because then your cornbread is going to be on the dry side. And you cool it for 10 minutes in the pan and then remove it after that from the loaf pan after about 10 minutes and put it on a wire rack and let it cool. So then you can slice it again. It's 12 slices. It's just absolutely wonderful. And you might want to serve, you know, some nice sweet butter to go with it, or just have the butter so it's at room temperature and it's softened. But this is so good. But it goes good with pork. It'll go especially good with pork barbecue. That would be just wonderful. But anyway, I promised you that recipe, so that is there. And I might be including that in my next newsletter, too. If we still have a caller on the air, I'll take that caller right now. If not, if they have dropped away, then I will just move on. But I'm sure if you had been on the line and you fell off because you were on a cell phone or something like that, then just call right back in. 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Rob Moore. And I was talking with Rob, and I know we've got a caller on the line. I'll be right with you, caller. Rob is going to be talking with us tomorrow about ways that we can save the ocean. We all know that there is such a need for us to become consciously aware of water, how to take care of it, but also our fish populations, because if we're not careful, we're going to be eating up everything that is out there. So this, I think, you're going to find a fascinating subject matter, and I invite you to share with your friends and tell them. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
It's Joel from Boston, Mass.
Hi, Joel. Boston, what a city. That is just an incredible area. Let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I am looking at with you is a lot of planning. You are really feeling like somebody's put you on a series of roller coasters, one right after the other, and you say, gee whiz, every time I start to plan something, it seems like something comes along, and I go on this roller coaster ride of experiences, and I go, I'm not so good at planning. Maybe I should forget planning altogether. Well, that's not the case. You need to be aware that your planning is important. What is happening is that you're allowing too many distractions to come in and sidetrack you. So, yes, roller coasters in life, we do have to ride them every once in a while, but it's not a permanent situation. So be patient. You're going to get to a particular objective that is so meaningful to you. And there's something I'm picking up with your knees that I think you have a problem with, Joel. So I'd like to see you really find an exercise program that will build the muscles up in your legs so that your knees have the right kind of support with your muscular balance here. And I know we're coming short, we're getting close to time. We have less than a minute. Do you have a quick question for me?
No, I just was seeing how you were what you're picking up, but also psychic development for myself, possibly.
All right, take it easy. Don't push too fast on this. What you want to do is build your library. You want to get as much reading material as you can, and you want to be able to integrate with people that you have an appreciation for to see if their skills are those skills that you'd like to cultivate, and then be willing to be the student. And remember, it takes time. You don't want to overdo. You don't want to do any kind of extreme thing because it's not going to serve you well. Joel, I regret I have to go because we only had a couple of minutes here and I'm out of time.
That's okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a wonderful evening in Boston. This is Donna Siebel, and I'm sorry we're out of time. We've got a dynamic show tomorrow. Hope you can be there with me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is an adventure. Get out your walking stick and move with it. You don't know what's around the corner that's going to bless your life in an unexpected way. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.